الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يكون عنها حولا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama kiram, beloved brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the greatest bounty and favor upon humanity is the bounty of iman. There is no other ni'mat, no other favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is greater than this iman. And this iman is so valuable and so priceless that this entire system of the entire world is functioning because of iman. Tell the person, they will say, Allah, Allah, on the face of the earth, this entire universe will exist. But when that person ceases to exist, all the systems of the world will fail and the entire world will be destroyed. So to say, the power or the fuel of this dunya is this iman and this kalima la ilaha illallah and saying of Allah, Allah. This iman is so valuable that the seven heavens and the seven earths put onto one side of the pan of the scale, on the other side is the kalima la ilaha illallah. This kalima will outweigh that pan of the scales. This is the weight and the value of this kalima. The value of this kalima is so great, comes in the Quran Pak, that if a person, Allah Pak save us, leaves this dunya without iman, leaves upon kufr, then if he comes to salvate himself, ransom himself, save himself from the punishment, he comes with the entire earth full of gold. You must imagine, not one brick, or one area, or one furlong, or 1 kilometer, the entire earth. فَلَيُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. Person passes away upon kufr, Allah Pak save us, doesn't go with this iman, and if he comes with the entire earth full of gold and try to ransom himself and save himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that will never be accepted from him. Otherwise, the entire earth full of gold cannot equal to that iman that the person has. This iman is so very valuable that a very tiny little bit, not even like a mustard seed, less than a mustard seed, adna min zalik, if a person has, then in lieu of that, the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be granted the paradise that is 10 times the size of this dunya, because of that iman that he has possessed. This iman is so valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so valuable that even life can be given, but iman cannot be given up. You cannot compromise and give away iman, even if you have to give your life. It is more valuable even than life. Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha and many others find them to be martyred. They are given a choice between kufr and compromising on the iman and death. They have chosen death. We will not compromise on our iman. We will remain upon la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. In one hadith, Allah ta'ala tells us that a person that has his iman also becomes so valuable. لَزَوَادُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ وَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ قَتْلِ مُؤْمِنٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the entire destruction of the entire world is easier in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is lighter than the killing of one mu'min that has this iman. So this iman is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and very, very valuable. So valuable that we cannot imagine the value of this iman. Remember one very, very pious person saying, if an ordinary Muslim's iman, if the nur of his iman is exposed, it will illuminate the east to the west. Mashrik se maghrib roshan ho jayega, if that nur of the iman of the mu'min, ordinary mu'min, is exposed. So this is the most valuable thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. This is most valuable, there's nothing more valuable than this. All the values, all the wealth of the world put together cannot equal to one small iota of iman. This is how valuable it is. And how important and significant it is, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the day Allah ta'ala had created insan on this human earth, in this face, Allah, on the face of the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had began the silsila of hidayat and nubuwat, and Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had come to give him this great commodity that he requires, that is iman. And one after the other, you know, plus minus 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were sent to the face of the earth to dispense this iman to the human beings, to mankind. Because it is so valuable. Because mankind can have everything of the world. All the requirements of the world Allah Ta'ala had created beforehand. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا Everything was created before we had come to the dunya. But iman, Allah Ta'ala had sent the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in their respective times, to the respective areas, to dispense this iman and to give it to every insan that is on the face of the earth. And the difficulties and hardships that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had underwent, we always hear from the Ulama Kiram, we read in the Holy Quran, how some nations had even martyred the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, had given, caused them untold hardships and persecution, but this was tolerated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because iman was so valuable that it has to reach every four corners of the globe. It has to reach to every person on the face of the earth. So Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the chosen beings, the innocent beings, the selected beings of Allah Ta'ala undergo hardship, difficulty, takleef, parishani. It is tolerated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? They have come to dispense some commodity that is very, very valuable. Commodity that every human being will require on the face of the earth. And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent as the final and last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had also come with the kalima la ilaha illallah with this iman. The difficulties and hardships and torments that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent, we all hear about and we all know what happened to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went to Taif, most difficult day of his life. It was not for some worldly gain, but not to increase the bank balance, not to make the life of family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comfortable. No, it was to salvate mankind, salvate humanity from the difficulty and hardship and azab in the akhirat, and to give them this kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So significant and so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down divine scriptures mentioning the details of iman, the details of the people of iman, the nations in Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the respective Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's incidents are mentioned there to show what was the consequence of those people that rejected the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and what was the consequences and results and good results of those people that accepted the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Scriptures, divine scriptures are sent down, the Holy Quran is sent down, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it upon himself to safeguard this Holy Quran for us. So that for every human being that will come on the face of the earth, we find the details of iman are mentioned. The details of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned. The details of the message of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned. And apart from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in different signs of his qudrat in this world, in the earth, in the skies, in all the systems, in ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us his qudrat, so that we can bring this iman, we can believe in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire Quran Pak is filled up. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ In the skies, in the earth, until the lighting of the days and the night, and all the other systems, فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Allah ta'ala introduces himself, so that we can believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can get this iman, this great dawlat of iman, and not leave this world without iman. So the importance and significance of iman can be judged that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, series of them, 124,000, then Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it did not stop there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this responsibility to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to call towards this iman, to call towards this goodness, and to forbid mankind from evil. We find it continues. The ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama-i kiram, the mashayikh, the awliya, all call towards this iman, all call towards belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which is that which we require for our success. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the importance of this iman and the importance of this kalima, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this entire series, this entire procedure and process has begun from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, inshallah, will continue till the qiyamah. There will always be a group of people that will be upon haq, and they will always invite towards haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish the haq till the day of judgment, inshallah. And if you look from all the necessities of ours, the greatest necessity is of iman. Every single human being, whether he lived in that period of time, whether he's coming now, living now, or whether he will live before Qiyamah, his greatest need is iman. For his salvation, for his success, for his eternal happiness and bliss, he requires this iman. He can have everything of the world, he or she can have everything of the world, as far as the worldly gifts and bounties are concerned, but if he is bereft of iman, he is empty of iman, then he is a failure. He is a failure forever and forever and forever. So for every single human being, The greatest need is iman. And in every single moment of our lives, we require this iman. There can never be a moment when you can say that for 5 minutes we'll leave iman, ma'azallah, we'll be out of iman. Every single moment we need iman. Every single place we go to, we need iman. Wherever we are, we need this iman, we need this kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. In every single amal of ours, there are some conditions of ibadat we require for some conditions. We need wuzu for our salat. Tawajjuh toward the Baytullah we need when we are in salat. When you want to read the Quran in park, when you want to hold the Quran in park, we need wuzu, etc. To be in a state of wuzu is for a period of time. You want to go towards the Baytullah for Hajj, etc. We have to make the intention, our direction to be Makkah al-Mukarramah. We go there and carry out the rituals of Hajj. Similarly, fasting also starts a certain time and ends a certain time. But as far as iman is concerned, there is no time limit. It is not for a single moment. Every single moment, in every single amal, we need iman. We cannot carry out one subhanallah without iman. We cannot carry out one roza without iman. We cannot carry out salat without iman. This is a requirement that we need at all times. When we're sleeping also, we need that iman. When we're sleeping also, we have iman. Doesn't leave us. Iman doesn't leave us. The soul leaves us. Allah tawaffal anfus, Allah tawaffal anfus hina mawtia. In the Quran we understand that even the soul leaves us, but iman cannot leave us for a moment. So this is the greatest need, that is the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And what is iman? There are great details of iman. The great details of iman, the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, is the basis and foundation of our iman. There are so many parts and particles of iman that follow. But la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah. This forms the basis of our iman. That we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no deity, there is no one worthy of worship, there is no power, there is no might, there is no strength, except but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship. And everything else goes with it. The zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in fully. The details we hear over and over again of what we have to believe in the kalima, all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gives honor and respect. He is the one that gives cure and sicknesses. He is the one that looks after us. He is the one that fulfills our need. He is the one that gives honor and respect. He is the one that fulfills all our need. He cures us from our diseases. He feeds us. All our requirements are placed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only being that can fulfill all our requirements. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to say this and pronounce it, iqrar bil lisan. We need to believe, tasdeeq bil qalb, from the deep recesses of our hearts. We need to have deep conviction on this belief. Deep conviction in this belief and yaqeen in the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to pronounce it with our tongues, and our amal ought to conform to that way of life that is brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is in a nutshell the reality of iman, that we believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so many details that we hear over and over again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do everything without the help of the makhluk. And the entire makhluk can do nothing without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire makhluk put together cannot cause any harm, cannot do anything without the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And success lies in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all the other lifestyles, besides the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are all ways that will lead us to our doom and destruction. No matter how nice they may look, no matter how they may be presented to us, but if it's against the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there's no success in that way of life. This is basically our iman. And for this iman is so powerful and so strong, that there is nothing that can take away this iman. When the iman is developed, mehnat is made on this iman, then no power on the earth can take away this iman. No wealth on the earth can entice a person to leave this iman. And no destructive force, all the bombs put together, are faced towards the person who has iman. And the iman is firmly embedded in his heart. He has made mehnat and developed that iman, they cannot shake him. All these bombs can go off, but the iman will not go off. As I mentioned, Sumayya radiallahu anha, the forces are against her. But no compromise on La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. She is prepared to give her life, but not compromise on La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is the quwwat and taqat of iman. The most potent and powerful thing that Allah Ta'ala has created, the most valuable and the most potent is iman. It's kalima La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You look at the lives of the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. We know the details of his life. Allah Ta'ala filled his qabr with noor. What examples they have left for humanity. Nothing with him, slave. And he has iman, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He is tormented in the heat of the sun in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Boulders are put onto him. And he's being lashed by the enemies of Islam. But he says, ahad, ahad. In other words, you can tear my body into pieces, but you cannot take this iman out. You can destroy me and kill me, but you cannot take this iman out of my heart. It is firmly embedded there. It will remain there. This is why Allah Ta'ala has given him this great honor. That when the time came to proclaim the oneness of Allah, it was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu that was given the honor to stand on the Kaabatullah and say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Those whispers of his could not be heard in the sands of Makkah al-Mukarramah by one and all. But on the day of Fath Makkah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had marched victoriously into Makkah al-Mukarramah, it was Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. Great details follow. How is it that Bilal radiallahu anhu had given the azan when other people came with a dream, O Prophet of Allah, I had seen this Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbi, he is the one that said, O Allah, I had made fikr and Allah Ta'ala had shown me in a dream, this is the call, this was the call. Commentators mention, some say he was not well, some say no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely chosen Bilal radiallahu anhu. He is the one that held up this nara of tawheed, this motto of tawheed. He is the one that held this tawheed in those difficult circumstances. Now in the time of ease also he is given the honor to stand in the Baytullah and call out Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Yasir radiallahu anhu, the difficulties and hardships that they are undergoing because of this iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes past, they come to him and appeal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them, sabr, make sabr, O people of Yasir, or the khandan of Yasir, make sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you paradise. Undergoing difficulty and hardships because of this iman, looking after the iman. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu anhu is migrating and the people want to waylay him. He says, you can take away all my wealth, but you will not stop me. I will not compromise on my deen. I'm going to safeguard my deen to Makkah al-Mukarramah. My wealth is not as valuable as my iman. My wealth is not as valuable as my iman. I'll give you all my wealth. If you want to fight with me, I'll send the arrows against you. And you will not be able to get me. But if you want to make a compromise, I'll give you all my wealth that I have in Makkah al-Mukarramah, that I will save my iman and migrate with my iman. And this is what happens. And Allah Ta'ala sends down ayats of the Holy Quran to bear testimony to the steadfastness of the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, how and what sacrifices they had made in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that you cannot even imagine. Imagine somebody comes to me and you and says, right, you either give up the kalima or give up your wealth. Will it be easy for me and you to say, take all my wealth, I won't give up the kalima. Allah Pak, save us from those tests and trials. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzafa, Sahabi radiallahu anhu, is captured. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu dispatches him, he goes away, fights the Romans. He is captured, he is brought into the court. The king calls him. He is told to him that this is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even they knew the value of the Sahaba. He says, this is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He makes an offer to him. I will give you half my kingdom. Some place mentioned, I will make you marry you to my daughter. Accept Christianity, ma'azallah, and denounce Islam. What is the reply that he gives him, Abdullah ibn Huzafa? These were the people that made mehnat on the iman. He knew the value of iman. Here he's enticed with half the kingdom. He tells him, even if you give me my entire kingdom, you give me all the wealth of the Arabs, the wealth of the Arabian Peninsula, you put it into my hands, I am not prepared to sacrifice or leave the deen of Islam even for the betting of one eyelid. For that amount of period also, I'm not prepared to compromise on iman. Can you imagine how strong and firmly embedded iman was in their hearts? That on one hand, the entire kingdom is given to him. Entire kingdom of the Arabs is given to him. Not for a split second are they prepared to compromise on the iman. Because they had made mehnat for 13 years on iman. They had undergone difficulty and hardship for iman. They had made great sacrifices for iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that the iman was of such a nature that nothing in the world could change them. A person, obviously when he rejects this, that he threatens him. Everybody's life is dear to him. Everybody's life is dear to him. He tells him, if that is the case, he brings about a big cauldron full of oil, some provide as water, and he brings two Muslim prisoners and he throws one in. That person passes away. Can you imagine boiling oil or boiling water? Person is thrown inside and he passes away, loses his life. And then he says, before that he tells people to put him, tie him to a cross, tell his men and aim spears at him, but deliberately miss him, let the spears go towards his hands and feet, etc. Frighten him and threaten him with his life. Even then he's not prepared to compromise. Thereafter he puts this spectacle before him of death, of destruction. He's helpless, but Iman, the power of Iman is so strong with him, does not wish to compromise. And he's told now, after that person had passed away, he set an example before him that you will also go in the same way. Take him now and destroy him and throw him and take away his life. Says Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu anhu begins to cry, begins to weep. Enemies think now he has softened up. Why? Because he's passing away. He's crying because his life is leaving him. No, but it was not the cry. It was the spirit of sacrifice that made him cry. That, hi, only one life. When he's taken to the court of the king told him, it seems now you have softened up. He says, no, I'm crying because I only have one life. If I had life equivalent to the hair of my body, I would sacrifice each one. Hair on the body, according to the statistics, is about 100,000 hair only on the top of the head of a human being. Can you imagine every hair on his body? Look at the deep desire for sacrifice in the part of Allah Ta'ala. If I had lives that were equivalent to the hair on my body, I would sacrifice each one of them. I'm crying. I'm crying out of regret and remorse that I only have one life to give in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a moving statement that person who is bent on killing him softens his heart. And he says that if you kiss my head, I will let you go free. He's moved by this sentence that's stemming from this iman of this man, of the sahabi, radiallahu anhu, telling him, if you kiss my head, I will let you go free. Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu anhu tells him, he considers and tells him, if you free me and my companions, all the prisoners, then I am prepared to kiss your head. An action that's embarrassing, an action that's humiliating, but for the freedom of his companions, he said, I am prepared to do so. And he kisses his head. The person keeps to his promise, he frees him and he frees all the Muslim captives. Story reaches Umar radiallahu anhu, and when he hears this, when Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu anhu comes, he says, it's our duty to kiss him, to make him forget that embarrassing moment that he had to face before the king. As Umar radiallahu anhu stands up first and he kisses his forehead. This was the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that developed the iman. They made sacrifice of the iman and they left that model for us, for humanity to follow. For in amanu bi misli ma amantum bihi faqad ihtadaw. They became the criteria and the standards and the gauges by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you bring iman, O mankind, like how they brought iman, then you are upon hidayat. They became the standards and the criteria of iman. And they brought such iman that we cannot even imagine. And there is no nation that can bring iman like the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is how iman was developed with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how powerful iman is. And iman needs protection. Iman means development. Why? Because we are faced every day in our lives with those things, with the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the nafs, the shaitan, the evil environments, the evil friends. All these affect the person's iman. If a person does not look after his iman, then our iman is not like the iman of the angels that is at one level. Nor is it like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam rising all the time. But our iman yazidu wa yankus. Sometimes you're on the high, sometimes you're on the low. Sometimes we are affected by the environment and it's difficult to look after this iman. So we need to protect this iman. We need to safeguard this iman. We need to look after this iman more than we look after our valuables. Because the most valuable commodity, as we mentioned, is iman. We need to look after it more than we need to look after anything else in this world. More than all our valuables, more than our gold and jewelry, more than our bank balances, more than our properties. We need to look after more than this iman than anything else. And today, more than ever before, we find there are those enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are out there to take away this iman. Person leaves the majlis of the masajid, majlis of the saliheen, of the mashayikh, etc. There's absolutely nothing, like Muhammad Lad Sahib said in the bayan just a few last week, that there's nothing, absolutely nothing that calls towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is calling us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to protect this iman. Surah Allah has predicted there will come a time when a person will be a mu'min in the evening and a mu'min in the morning, he will be a kafir. In the morning he will be a mu'min, in the evening he will be a kafir. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَدٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He will sell his deen just for a few worldly commodities. He will sell away his deen. In other words, the value of iman will not be there. And we all know that looking at things, speaking about things, thinking about things, this affects our iman. If you go into an environment, we will talk about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we think about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we hear about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will affect our iman. This will develop our iman. And this will bring our iman, inshallah, to that level that we will be able to protect ourselves when we go out. Alhamdulillah, we find. And this iman needs to reach perfection. Needs to reach perfection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that I said before you, that you cannot become a perfect mu'min till your desires do not become subjugated to the deen that I have brought. Your desires and your whims and your fancies must become subject to the deen that I have brought. The orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must become, so to say, second nature to us. Then our deen has reached perfection. When we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than our fathers and our children and the entire human race and humanity, when we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more, then our iman has reached perfection. We'll get the real taste of iman when we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zaqa ta'amul iman man radiya billahi rabba wa bil islam deena wa muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola. That person that is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his Rabb, as his nourisher and creator and cherisher, he's pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleased with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleased with the circumstances that Allah ta'ala brings towards us, pleased with the halal that befalls us, he's pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is my Rabb. Whatever happens from the side of Allah, whatever commands Allah ta'ala gives us, I am pleased and happy. But with Islam Medina, and is pleased with the religion of Islam, does not find ma'azallah anything objectionable, anything hard and difficult. This is the order of, this is the deen of Islam. This is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa showed us. He accepted al-ra'si wal-ayn. There is no ifs and buts. There is no agar and magar. He accepted as it is because it's from the deen of Islam. Radiya billahi rabba wa Islam Medina. With Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola, and is happy with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his rasool. I think it was Ali radiallahu anhu who once mentioned that this in itself is a great ni'mat that Allah ta'ala has made us Muslims and given us the deen of Islam, and Allah ta'ala is our Rabb. This in itself is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this iman needs mehnat, it needs effort. One is to carry out the actions of iman, alhamdulillah, this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we constantly need to be making effort on our iman. And check whether iman is going down. Yazid wa yankus, it is increasing or decreasing. Reminds me when one of our students, Jamaat, went to Nizamuddin. Ulama-i Kiram know this comes in the first beginning of Bukhari Sharif, iman wa yazid wa yankus, academic discussion. But it applies to each one of us. When these Ulama-i Kiram went to Nizamuddin, the Mashayikh there called them and asked them, did you ever for a single day reflect upon yourself whether your iman is increasing or decreasing? You know all the academic discussions as far as Yazid or Wayankus is concerned, the mazhab of people, but did you ever reflect in your mind and heart that is my iman increasing or is my iman decreasing? So this is the burning question for all of us. Is our iman increasing, our iman decreasing? And if we get into the struggle of iman and Islam and iman, then we will find inshallah our iman will always be increasing. Always be increasing inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use us to bring about not only individuals with perfect iman, to bring about ulama-i kiram, to bring about mashayikh, to bring about institutions of deen and learning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use. Hafiz Patel Sahib Dawud Barakatuh says a strange sentence when he comes here. He mentioned in this trip as well. This trip he mentioned slightly different. Is mehnat ke peeche, bohut sare huffaz chupe hue hai, bohut sare darul ulum chupe hue. Normally he says, har ek insan ke peeche, hazaron ki hidayat chupi hui hai. Behind one person, each person has the potential of guidance of thousands of people. Of thousands of people, he has the potential of guidance. I'll just give you one or two incidents where you'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a person when he goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his self-reformation, for the development of his iman and the iman of others. As you think, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi writes one place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assembled or put together the different ways of Islam that the mashayikh normally prescribe in this way of da'wat and tabligh. He says one way is mujahada, that is also found in da'wat and tabligh. Another way is zikr, That's also found in Dawat and Tabligh. Third thing is the companionship of the pious people. It's also found in Dawat and Tabligh. Fourthly is to learn the deen of Islam, Ta'aleem. That's also found in Dawat and Tabligh. Fifth thing is to stay away, to be disinclined towards the dunya. That's also found in Dawat and Tabligh. And he says that is why, because of the great benefit of this work, he says the mashayikh of Tasawwuf also prescribed this work for people to go out on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can benefit. And because of the glad tidings and unseen assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah writes that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam special focus is upon this deen, is upon this work. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special assistance is on this deen and on this work of Dawat and Tabligh. And we see it evident before our eyes. We see it in everyday life. I was talking about the potential that people have. When a person goes out, he may not have that amount of potential like the next person. Reminds me of a person who was an emir in Egypt. He had passed away. He had a school friend who never used to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to go and insist upon him over and over again and tell him to come out in the path of Allah. That person told him finally that I will come out on one condition, that you do not come back to me. You do not come back with the tashkil to me, I will come out. He says he went out for 3 days, thereafter he extended it, I think, to 40 days, and thereafter to 4 months. He was a very wealthy person, and he had hotels in different areas. While he was out in the path of Allah, he sent a message, all those places where there are swimming pools, change them into masajid. Change them into the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter he dedicated himself the work of Dawat and Tabligh. This Amir Sahib says, one day when I came into the masjid, and I found there's a janaza. It was a janaza of this person. He had passed away in sajda in tahajjud namaz. That is the potential that this person had. But it was not tapped by anyone. The credit goes to that Amir that tapped his shoulder and told him to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who and what that person can become, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. There was one South African doctor returning after spending his time in India. And he was in one of the masjids in Bombay. And he met one person from the West Indies, that area. He asked him, who you are? So he told him, I am so and so. I stay in a certain town. And a certain doctor had come to us many, many years ago. He had given one talk in our masjid. And it affected me. It changed my life. I had come here to India. I spent some time. And now I had gone thereafter interested in deen. I have become an alim of deen. And now I have served my 1 year after. And I am going back to West Indies. To his amazement and surprise, the doctor said, I was the doctor that came to your town. Gave one talk, that person was motivated, and he changed his life and became an alim of deen, and all credit goes to this one person that had given that bayan there. We had in the Washington area, there's a person named of Yaqub Bhai, who served by Chauhan, and many others who went there, know him very well. Person that is very much concerned, an engineer that had come to America to earn a living. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him tawfiq. He began to join the jamaat and go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seems since we knew him the last 10-12 years, he had absolutely no other work besides the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the concern, a little whisper used to come out here. Somehow Yaqub Bhai rahmatullah used to hear it there in Washington. He used to phone and say, when is the jamaat going? Kindly ensure that the jamaat comes to Washington. In the Virginia area, by Tufail, knows Yaqub Bhai well, rahmatullah alayh, make sure that it comes to this area. Whisper will come out here, I wouldn't even know. I'd come and ask Bhai Abdul Samad, where is this Jamaat? So, no, Jamaat is from Johannesburg. Yaqub Bhai has come to know. He wants the Jamaat to come under all circumstances to that place. However, Yaqub Bhai passed away last year, just after Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala filled his grave with noor. Those people that knew him, you would not see him without his tashkil book. Every day of his life, he will come to the masjid with his tashkil book. And he will be looking, paging through who's due, who's not due. On my last trip to America, one of my students, Mufti Yusuf, he told me an ajeeb thing that I never heard before. I heard Yaqub Bhai passed away, let Allah fill his grave, he made his salat sawab, he announced. We told a brother, he told me, I was present, he says, when Yaqub Bhai passed away. Myself and Sheikh Abdul Hamid, we were present at his bedside. The family was there, they were all reading Yasin Sharif, etc., and we were there as well. He says, there were moments before Ghurub on Friday, moments before Ghurub, the first Friday, the second day after Eid, moments before Ghurub, Yaqub Bhai passed away peacefully before our eyes. We see him leaving this dunya. Thereafter he says, somebody saw Yaqub Bhai in a dream, and he found him to be in the rank of the ulama. Saw him in a dream, and found that he is now in the rank of the Ulama-i Kiram. He was very instrumental in sending a number of students here to Camperdown and other places in South Africa that qualify that Ulama-i Kiram. So it's a simple work, but sometimes a person taps one person, that person is motivated, he goes far away, becomes an alim, opens up a Darul Uloom, all that to the credit of this person who had went down for his reformation, and in the process, while reforming himself, he had given dawah to somebody else. So this is a chance now Allah Ta'ala has given us, especially when there's ijtimaas, we find people from different walks of life coming on different pretexts. Somebody had come just to do the water, to arrange the water. Somebody had come to the electricity department. Somebody had come because of the parking. They come into an environment. Somebody gives them dawat. That person goes out on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many ulama will come thereafter? How many darul ulooms? Let's sit back for a while and look at the akabir ulama of this country. Let's not go far. The akabir ulama of this country, you look at the background, you find many of them had come into this field of activity of becoming ulama, opening darul ulooms with the barakah of dawat and tabligh. Their grandfather, their uncle, their great-grandfather, their father had gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was motivated, and thereafter he sent his son and grandson. Today, alhamdulillah, they are principals of darul ulooms, mashallah. They had spent time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have so many murids, thousands of murids all across the globe. Why? Because somewhere along the line, alhamdulillah, we found that Allah ta'ala had favored them or their fathers and grandfathers with this work of dawat and tabligh, and that brought a change in their lives. Mufti Naeem Sahib of Pakistan, I always think of him, I think I'll terminate here, mention his story, that's so astounding and so amazing. He says, his grandfather says, his father used to say, Rahmatullah Alayhi Qari Abdul Rahim Sahib, that my grandfather, or my father, so to say, his father, had gone from Surat to Sudan, and he had met one person there that had given him dawat. They were fire worshippers. He says, my grandfather accepted the dawat, and he came back, he became a Muslim. Thereafter, he gave us dawat. I accepted. And thereafter, I made all my sons huffaz. Qari Abdul Rahim, those people know him. He used to read in the Panipat lehja, and he knew his Quran very well. He used to read Surah Baqarah someplace in America, and Surah Fajr Namaz, he used to read Surah Baqarah, the whole of Surah Baqarah. A Jayyid Hafiz, all his children were Hafiz. His son today has a madrasa in Pakistan. I had gone there maybe 10, 15 years ago. There were about 2,000 students there. 200 students were from America, from North America and from Canada, etc., from France and those countries. And he told me at that time there were 100 students that qualify every year from this Darul Uloom. And most of them go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1 year. And that was about 10 years ago. I'm busy in the process building another madrasa for the girls. And we don't know how many girls will come there and become alimas. And if you look back, that Sudani that has left the world so many years ago, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be the credit to that Sudani that has gone away from the dunya because of his dawat towards Iman and Islam. Here our dawat may be to the Muslim, not for Iman and Islam, but to come to the fold of Islam fully and implement the order, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his lives. And we know the changes that takes place in a person's life when Iman comes into him. Why? Because Iman is the root, and there are so many branches of Iman. When Iman becomes strong, then everything becomes strong. Everything becomes strong. The amal becomes strong. And everything becomes strong and firm. The man becomes steadfast. And when he goes out in the path of Allah, gives dawah to so many people, alhamdulillah, so many people's lives change. So very, very easy formula. Very, very easy way. Very, very simple way. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah has to mention that kaam ki saadgi ne bohut saare logo ko dhokha mein rakha hai. The simplicity of the work has deceived many a people. Not much you have to do, but not realizing that behind the work is the fikr, is the mujahada, is the sacrifice the person gives out when he leaves his environment, leaves his home. Qari Abdul Hamid Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, in Johannesburg, I remember when the first Jamaat had come out, people like Musa Budania, rahmatullah alayh, and them had come, and had just spent the night in that Kirk Street Masjid, and he had mentioned, is mulk mein inqilab a gaya. A revolution has come into this world. When these rich people left their warm homes and comfortable, cozy homes, and came into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just spent the night here, he said, it's mulk mein inqilab a gaya. And people who know the events from that time, we see the inqilab. And inshallah Allah ta'ala will bring even more inqilab if we give more sacrifices in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we all know the ijtima has come here, your doorstep. It's not my ijtima, your ijtima, it's the ijtima of the entire Natal. And because of the venue, it is Spingo Beach, we may be directly involved, but it's the ijtima of all the people that are here, all the Muslims of KZN. We should be concerned about this ijtima. What is my role in the ijtima? What should be my role in the ijtima? For that we need jamaat before the ijtima. Like the mashayikh mentioned, jamaat come out before the ijtima. Every person comes to know. Every person comes to know the ijtima will be surprised. We're living in the press button age. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakat in the life of our kabirs. Once Mawlana Ihsan, Damat Barakat, had mentioned to me, and I met him personally, he mentioned to me, we do not use this modern means. We use the means that is close to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, even with this modern means of pressing on the button, you'll find some people next door don't know there's an ijtima. Even with this modern method that we have today, that person next door does not know. So Allah Ta'ala give barakat in their lives, they've adopted the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah method, where the message is given from door to door, and person to person the message is given. So before the ijtima, the people ought to be informed about this great event that is taking place. The great event, inshallah, that will become a means of khair, inshallah, in the entire world. So for that, there are jamaats that are required before the ijtima. And obviously, at the ijtima, it's not imaginable that anybody is absent from the day of the ijtima, when there will be so many people coming from so far and wide, respectable guests who spend their lives, people like Mawlana Ahmad Lad Sahib, Damat Barakat, who was here recently. We had seen him when his beard was completely black. That's the time we had seen him approximately 40 years ago. Imagine him striving the path of Allah Ta'ala from that time right up to now. Allah Ta'ala bless them and all the other akabir that are there, that are sitting there concerned about the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam across the globe. We do not know the activities. I just give you a glimpse that one jamaat had come out here, the first jamaat they had mentioned that, and even now recently when a jamaat comes, they say, our route is determined from Nizamuddin. From Raibin, our route is determined. Can you imagine that what route should you go in South Africa, where you should go, which place you should go, is determined by those people according to the need of this people. That shows the level of concern in the heart of this people regarding the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this part of the globe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and guidance to participate to the maximum. Sometimes, as I mentioned, just tapping somebody's shoulder. And here there can be so many forms, so many ways, apart from going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person can be of service in the ijtima. We should ensure that we are there tomorrow. Is the intizami jor, where the different responsibilities will be given out to different people. There we should try and fit in and ensure that we also are participating in some area of activity in this ijtima. And as I mentioned, sometimes that can become a means of our salvation. We just helped one person and just told him, by this way is a parking lot. There's the, you want a glass of, gave him a glass of water. Or just directed him by meals are served in this place and fulfilled his need. Just fulfilled his need for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please that person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one hadith, very beautiful hadith, a person who fulfilled the need of his Muslim brother. Here the need is not defined what need can be. Can be so many different things. He fulfilled the need of his Muslim brother in order to please him. He has pleased me. And the person that has pleased me has pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person that has pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will enter him into paradise. Our deen is very, very simple, very, very simple, and we can serve in so many different capacities, especially at the occasional ijtima. And this, apart from going out, obviously going out is the maximum, the best thing to do thereafter, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can charge up this iman, and our iman can be strengthened, and it will be easy for us to look after our iman in this environment that we have to frequent every day from the morning till the evening, where we find this danger towards our iman. And in our process of going out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance and tawfiq and hidayat to thousands of people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the guidance and tawfiq to participate in this ijtima, especially in this ijtima intizami jor that is taking place tomorrow at 10 o'clock, the Spingo Beach Masjid. We should try and be there and try and bring our friends, etc. also, and see where we can participate.